Hello. Welcome back to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do, Daniel. You sound like NPR or whatever radio. You're like looking directly into the camera too. It made me feel weird. Hello, viewers.
We're gonna listen to some smooth jazz.
Some smooth jazz. Talking about comics.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Dead Boy Detectives. We got the Back Matter Matters, the poll list, and we start with our news.
Big hot stinking news, Daniel.
Oh yeah?
Not really. But I just wanted to break the NPR voice.
Okay.
So now we're gonna go YouTuber.
Yeah.
And we're gonna start yelling.
New comic. What if Donald Duck became Wolverine?
That's I didn't see that, but that's awesome. What if he did, Daniel? It's the question everybody wants to know the answer to. Donald Duck?
It looks fucking sick.
Is it just a variant cover or is it an actual story?
It's like a story.
Whoa, who's doing it?
No one we know.
Okay. Try me.
Does that look sweet?
Wow, what a good cover.
Yeah. I'm pretty stoked about it.
I need to know who does it. I feel like this is good because DC, I think, had pretty big success with the DC Looney Tunes crossovers.
Yeah.
So I think Marvel has a pretty good opportunity to cross over different Disney characters with Marvel characters.
So written by Luca Barbieri, art and cover by Gaida Personoto.
Okay.
Variant cover by Ron Lim, variant cover by Peach Momoko.
Ooh.
Variant cover by Phil Noto.
Oh, I want to see their variants. That'd be cool.
Okay, let me see if I can find
it. It might be worth getting just for the cover. I'm sure those are all pretty banger covers because they're banger artists.
Yeah, so that's a variant.
Yeah, that's her.
That's her. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
Phil Noto is a little bit hazier.
That's another one.
That's not Phil Noto. It might be Ron Lim. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then that's the other one.
Let me see.
Because they're all drawing Daffy or Donald Duck, you know? So it's hard to figure out kind of based on their style.
Yeah.
Because they're not really drawing in their style, really.
Well, the one that I said was Peach is definitely Peach. I don't know about the Phil Noto one, though.
The snowy one. But anyway.
That's awesome.
I was very excited about
that. Yeah, I'll probably pick that up.
I'm absolutely getting that.
Well, I don't know what the story is going to be or if he's going to rip anybody apart, but, you know.
That'd be crazy. It's just gory as hell. Does he
have a healing? Yeah. Does he have a healing factor?
Yeah.
So that would mean that he'd have to get shot or something.
Instead of the snick, it's a quack or something like that.
That would be good.
That'd be good.
They should do that.
They come in July 31st, Nathan.
Ooh, it's also coming July as a different Wolverine thing called Wolverine Deep Cut,
ooh,
which is a Chris Claremont story that's going to start in July 2024. And it's going to be set during the X-Men's beloved Outback era. Chris Claremont and Edgar Salazar reunite to put Wolverine in Australia, I think.
Nice.
It's set during the period when the X-Men operated out of the Australian Outback, which I didn't know was a thing.
I bet.
He's going to fight some kangaroos, maybe?
Some joeys
or are there any famous Australian villains? Is Claw, he's not Australian, right?
I thought he's Russian
in the movie. I think he's different in the movie for sure, but anyway, that's pretty cool. Chris Claremont always comes
fucking
back.
Not the same company, but Boomerang.
Yeah,
Captain Boomerang,
that's a good one,
but I think that's it.
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of,
so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Not news, but I have a quote, Nathan, that I thought was neat and applies to us.
Okay. You're going to get it tattooed?
It's a little too long for that.
Okay. All right. Let me hear it.
Think not of the books you bought as a to-be-read pile. Instead, think of your bookcase as a wine cellar. You collect books to be read at the right time, the right place, and the right mood.
I love that attitude.
Luke Van Donkersgood.
Is that the philosopher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Clearly.
Luke Van Donkers, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's my boy. What a great way to validate our alcoholism for comics.
Yeah. Because I'm about to buy six books.
Yeah, I bought four and I'm I can only read one of these right now.
You know? I'm going to buy six mangas,
Oh, yeah,
this
yeah.
week with the sale going on.
And you have all these neglected comics.
Yep.
But, you know, they're just percolating or whatever it's called when shit ages and it tastes better. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what, yeah, what if like I just come to a time where it just hits so much harder than would me trying to force
feed myself? Yeah, I'm not going to be buying comics for my whole life, but I might have these comics for a long time.
I'm trying to find like the all-time collection, you know?
Exactly.
Like read all this stuff that I want to read and then get rid of stuff I don't like as much.
Yeah.
And have just like this perfect like
collection. A sick collection of like a couple long boxes. Or the
stuff you want to reread, like at some point
Get
in your life.
Kids,
your kiddos.
That would be sick. But speaking of things I won't read, Daniel, Dark Horse has announced Millerworld titles, including Nightclub 2 and Prodigy Slaves of Mars. So Nightclub 2 is going to be a 6-issue series with art by Juanin Ramirez and Fabiana Mascu that will launch on August 21st.
Oh, that Prodigy died.
He probably did.
In like two or three of Big Game.
I think, yeah, you're right. He did. So they're going to have to figure that out.
Because I was like, oh, what a cool guy. I need to read his thing. And then he died. I'm like, maybe he's not that important.
Also, the Nightclub thing probably just ended. And I think they were also in Big Game.
I think it ended before Big Game.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only like 5 issues.
Yeah, so to have like a sequel already spun up, he must really like this idea.
That was like the $1.99 book.
Which is cool. Yeah. And I respect that. I also think it's interesting that Dark Horse is publishing it. Have they always been publishing the Millerworld stuff?
Or? It's like a new thing.
Okay.
So after Big Game, they like switched over. Because I don't think like Netflix is publishing or helping whatever.
Yeah, they would have to go to somebody to like actually publish the books in print.
But you know how like Netflix was like on the back of all of them because they own Millerworld?
Yeah, it was. I think that would still be the case. But was it Dark Horse that was publishing the shit before? Or?
No, it was Image.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
There's some news that we had about that, and I think you told me about it, so it's very shocking that you don't remember.
I don't remember the things that I say on the news.
You don't have memory.
I don't, dude. When it comes to like comic book news, I'm like, oh, that was new, and then you tell me every week. We've talked about this 100 times.
I'm like, we talked about it.
And I never remember.
It's okay.
That's okay.
I'll be your
breaking memory. News, Donald Duck and Wolverine. I'm just kidding. There's another sequel thing that just got announced, which I think is kind of funny, but it's called The Nice House by the Sea. With James Tynion and Alvaro Martinez Bueno, the original creative team for The Nice House on the Lake.
But did that end?
It ended. And now we have The Nice House by the Sea coming July 24th. He said, the people in this house do not like each other. And that's going to be the main difference in this one.
It's just like Love Island, but the world's ending.
Oh, what a great idea.
Oh. Let's get the book we got this week, Nathan.
Yeah. We read Dead Boy Detectives.
By Toby Litt, Mark Buckingham, Gary Erskine, Russ Braun, Victor Santos, and Andrew Pepoy.
Mm-hmm. This is a Vertigo series from the pages of Sandman. This is like the second run, I think, of this.
Yeah.
And there's since been like 3 or 4. Or in total, there's been about 3 or 4 as of recording.
Something like that.
Yeah, because there's the Porn Tech Pachesa one, which we were going to do, but... Apparently, this one's like a better jumping on point.
I think so.
And then, is there one after that? Is there a current one going?
Not so far, no.
Okay.
And I think Ed Brubaker had a run.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
At a point, and then whoever did the first run of it.
I think that was Neil Gaiman, wasn't it?
I don't think he actually did like a solo series with them.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what'd you think? What was your initial reaction before we get into it?
My initial reaction was like, it was pretty cool. It was fun. And... it's kind of more closer to my like idea of the Dead Boy Detectives just from this one episode I saw on Doom Patrol season 3. And so that was mostly what I was looking for. It's something that just felt like that, but with more, you know, I'm more curious to hear what you think, Nathan.
I don't like it very much.
You didn't like it?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. I figured.
I think this is different than what I thought it was going to be because I didn't really have any preconceived notion other than they're dead boys that are detectives. And I'm like, that sounds pretty cool.
Do you think they're going to investigate a Moida or something?
Yeah.
See, that's what you
and
think
then,
it's going to be.
And then
that's too predictable. That's boring. Everyone
but I would like that.
Does a Moida.
You know, even though if it's, but, you know, not trying to have any preconceived notion what this was supposed to be. I was reading it and I think the story is like way worse than I thought it was going to be. I think it moves like way too fast and all over the place. And I think that the artist is incredible. Mark Buckingham.
Yeah, he is very good.
This...
super dig the art.
I think, yeah, I 100% dig the art. I think that was the only thing that carried me through, because I was so tired by the end of reading this. I was like, at least there's some pretty good pages in here.
Okay.
And he's known for like Fables, I believe.
Oh.
And so if people want to read something with his art in it, I think they should just probably read that. A book I haven't read.
Yeah.
But I could tell immediately, like after a couple issues, I was like, this guy's a novelist, isn't he? You know, Toby Litt.
Is he?
And I looked him up, and yeah, this is the only comic he's ever done. And he's done like a couple novels, and I could tell immediately, which isn't a bad thing.
Is it because there are three different caption boxes?
There's three different caption boxes is fine, but there's a lot of him explaining like what's happening sometimes. Or okay. Like, or like, I think just the pacing of like a comic book, he doesn't necessarily nail until like a little bit later in this run.
Okay.
And so I could tell that he... Like, I think this would have been a little bit better if, like, the main storyline... There's, like, three story arcs in here,
which is three weird. Story arcs.
Which a one-shot, and then, like, a four-parter, and then a two-parter. So, for a total of seven issues, I think this would have been better if it... If that, like, four-part story arc was five, so that it could breathe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it felt like it was moving very fast, and there was, like, a lot of words, and, like... What... and I'm
and
trying
why
to...
why have a one-shot as the number one?
I don't know what that was, because... It doesn't really matter. I don't know. Yeah. It's just strange. The whole thing's weird. It's like paced very strange. And I could tell that it was a novelist, which like, I don't think that's like, I'm not trying to be like derogatory or whatever.
I bet
like,
this guy writes books.
Like there's great novelists that write comics like Neil Gaiman or like Charles Soule, but I think he was a lawyer first, but he's done novels or like Ram V, right?
Yeah.
So like these guys are pretty fucking good at making comics. So my point is like, there's people that could do that well. I just don't think that this guy does. And I think there's a reason he's only got one comic.
Maybe. Because, like, this is the first trade of this run. And there's, like, another one after that.
Yeah.
So maybe the second one, after all the establishment, like, then there'd be, like, more of a detective kind of thing.
Yeah. It seems like it. Because the two-parter at the end, I think, was pretty enjoyable.
Yeah.
But I think everything else is tough. Because there's a lot going on in a very short amount of time.
Okay.
And I wasn't like crazy about it. But, but what's also weird is that like there's such good comic book pages.
Yeah.
That I feel like could only happen if you were like such a big fan of comics that you like want to kind of like mess with the layout of the medium a little bit. Like the letters is really good. The colors is really good. Mark Buckingham's great. And so.
Yeah, the colors were like a little flat, but like I kind of liked it.
I think in a good, in I think a,
on like purpose, I got used to it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to be, like, blended too much or anything.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was the only thing. But let's get into it, Daniel. So, this first one's kind of like a one-shot, and then it starts with number one later. I don't really know what the print run of this looked like, but basically, the Dead Boy detectives are Charles and Edwin, and they are ghosts and also private detectives, and usually they're tasked with finding, like, lost cats or, like, lost children or something. But while they're in pursuit of their current case, which is to find a cat named Twinkle, the boys get captured by a ghost teacher dude named Mr. Locke, and they're put into this ghost school prison where the school day never ends. And that's a great idea. I think that's a fun, that's like a fun little idea.
There is like kind of like a PG, like horror-esque thing to this.
Almost like a Goosebumps type feel.
Yeah. Or like a Halloween Town, like a Nickelodeon kind of thing.
Yeah. This is a good start.
Or like maybe hints of like Haunted Mansion kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and definitely.
So I like that.
I like this idea too. I think this is good, a strong start, because we also see the different art styles of like Mark Buckingham, because we see the story of like how the cat got lost and it feels more like Disney or cartoony, you know? And then
that was cool.
And then we see like a sketch of like the ghost teacher dude on like chalkboard or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this is a really cool drawing too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, this is cool. This feels very Vertigo. Like he's a very Vertigo feeling artist, but I think I only say that because of Fables.
And this.
Well, yeah, because it's the same artist that's on Fables, I mean.
Right.
And I've only read like the first trade of Fables, I think, but.
Did he take a break to do this?
I don't know. Because there's like decades of Fables, I feel like. Yeah, so there's I don't know.
At least like 50 issues.
Where did it go after Vertigo?
Fables?
Yeah.
I think it was over by the time Vertigo was gone.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, this is pretty good so far. I was like, okay, cool. Good start. And then. I think this issue falls down a little bit because it tries to wrap up everything pretty quick, but they almost like immediately escape. because there's like a distraction, and then they just book it and they run after the cat that they just happen to see on the side of the school.
Very convenient.
Yeah. So Mr. Locke chases and he sicks some dogs after them, and they climb a tower to grab the cat, but then the cat jumps on Mr. Locke and they plummet to the ground, and the cat gets stabbed.
Like, so, yeah.
So like all that happens very quickly, and I'm like, okay, whatever. It's one shot. You know, I found out.
But. And like, so there was like a ghost kid or whatever from that school.
Yeah,
that was leaving, and mm-hmm. he was like trying to escape, and he like gets ripped in half, mm-hmm. and it's like a very bloody scene. I'm like, so ghosts can get ripped in half here?
Yeah,
and then ghosts can like fall.
There's kind of rules here that I don't understand fully.
You kind of learn them along the way, for
you,
sure.
You do, and I'm cool with that. But yeah, to me, it seems like ghosts are pretty much just like people. They're just on another plane, but they could still die.
Yeah,
but what happens after they die? I don't know. Is it like a different place that they go to than from when people die and go to either heaven or hell but don't turn into ghosts?
Maybe it's like
is there a ghost heaven?
Maybe it's like a purgatory, but like this kind of seems like it would be purgatory, like not going to heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Oh, and they're also like somewhat on the run from death this mm-hmm. whole time.
Yeah.
Because like
they did die and death said, no, you can stay.
Or something.
As ghosts, but they don't know why.
But if like death finds them, she'll send them wherever they're going.
Yeah. So the embodiment of death is just playing like world's most dangerous game. Like if she finds a ghost, she'll grab him.
Yeah. Know? But she's like, it's like the same one from like Sandman.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That makes sense because it's like a Sandman book.
Yeah. And the girl who plays death in like the Sandman show will be in Dead Boy Detectives.
Oh.
Did you ever get that far to the death episode?
Yeah. In Sandman?
Yeah.
That was pretty early on, I thought.
No, it was like the last issue of like the trade we read. I think it was like episode like 7 or something.
I thought I remember seeing that in the show. That episode. Was that the last episode we saw death?
In Sandman? I think so.
Oh, I definitely didn't finish that show, so I don't know.
I finished it. There's a couple extra things in there.
Is that a good show?
I think it was like the Corinthian was in it.
Corinthian?
Yeah. Do you know the Corinthian?
He's the guy... Yeah, he's like the guy that walks around and he's like, I'm gonna get you. He's got no eyes, right?
Yeah.
No eyes.
He's got teeth for eyes.
Teeth for eyes. Forgot about that, but yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Good stuff. I wish the Corinthian was in this. It'd be cool if they were like investigating something having to do with one of those fucked up characters, you know? Like a little crossover.
But also like, I don't know if I'd like that. If I was like a Sandman fan, I don't know if I'd want more stuff that just connects back to Sandman directly.
That's a good point, yeah. I think this is fine to be on its own, and I would like it if it was a little bit different. But
yeah, I'm saying I didn't like this, but honestly, you wouldn't have liked the other one more at all.
That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
This one, at least, like it feels like it's kind of building from the ground up, you know, and that one you're just kind of thrown into.
Yeah, at least this one kind of starts to explain everything that you like need to know to like understand everything you need to know. But I still have a little bit of
questions. Yeah, you get like some origin stuff and get the team together stuff.
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of crazy we saw that cat get stabbed, but I think the cat's fine
mm-hmm.
later, so I don't know how that happened.
Because it's a ghost cat.
But basically, one of the schoolboys decides to help Edwin and Charles, and they all turn on Mr. Locke, and they get the dog whistle that Mr. Locke was using to control the dogs, and they send the dogs onto Mr. Locke. I think they kill him, and then they free the students that are in this like school prison thing.
Yeah.
And then the cat was also returned to the owners that they were helping initially. They're like side characters. Very, very side characters. You don't ever really... I don't even remember their names. Like they.
I don't even know if we got their names.
I think one of them's Maggie, but that's that's as far as I got. Like, they're still in the rest of this trade, but they don't do anything to, like, push the story forward.
Yeah, they pop up, like, one at a time.
And I think, like, that's another... Maybe I just have this idea in my head, but I think that's, like, a novelist thing. They just, like, introduce a lot of characters when they're not all necessarily needed.
And okay.
Sometimes that can be good if you're... And maybe they are more important later, but in this like first trade it kind of dilutes like everything else, I feel like. But anyway, so that was like the first one shot thing. The cat's fine, which is what confused me. Maybe it is a ghost cat.
It is a ghost cat, and those girls are ghosts.
Oh, they're also ghosts.
Yeah.
See, I never knew that.
So it's ghost detectives looking for ghost cats for the ghost owners.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, if you look at that like that kitty page with like the Garfield-esque.
Yeah.
There's like a car crash that happens.
Oh, did they die that way?
And then there's two like bodies covered with blankets, and like a cat body covered with blankets.
Oh,
and
okay,
that's them. and they're like right next to the bodies as ghosts.
Yep. Okay.
And so.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah. You know, I use my eyes to read.
I think I just like wasn't locked in when I was reading this, maybe more than I should have been. But something that is fucking sick about this book is the covers.
Oh yeah, I love
these
them.
All of these are like top bangers. Tier.
Yeah, like, and definitely like very Vertigo style. You know,
yeah, 100%. And
a Cliff Chang variant.
Yeah, he's love great it. Too.
Killer,
love that dude.
He could do like a Deadwood Detective book and be awesome.
Yeah, I'd read that.
Yeah.
So now we're into like issue one. I don't know how this works, but the first part of the 4-part story arc.
It's called New Girl.
It's called
or this part. It's called New Girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Schoolboy Terrors.
The boys are investigating a performance art piece where there will be a staged robbery of a Van Gogh painting. But involved in that staged heist is the performance artist's daughter named Crystal, who's like kind of been used for performance art a lot. She had like a fake tattoo on her forehead and she was a baby or whatever. But when they start to actually do the performance piece of the heist, there's already a real heist that's like starting. Mm-hmm. And there's these people that show up in a helicopter. They throw down a grenade. One of the dead boys like saves Crystal from the grenade, and then they end up saving the Van Gogh painting from the people that are stealing it for real, but the painting just falls into the river
and gets damaged anyway.
Like,
and insurance would have paid out either way, you know.
Yeah, but at least the bad guys didn't get what they wanted.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what it's all
like,
about.
Okay, what heroes, you know? they saved it, but it just went into the river. So I was like, I don't know. And we don't ever figure out who was actually trying to steal the painting. Like, that's just, I mean, it's just weird, you know?
I mean, do you want more characters, Nathan?
No, I don't. That's a good point. But I was like, okay, there's a real heist going on and we don't, yeah, but.
Yeah.
So the Crystal girl gets transferred to St. Hilarion's school, which is the same school that Edwin went to in like the 1900s, like early 1900s, which is, I think, when he died. So they decide to follow her to protect her from bullies. Because they know that they got bullied at this school.
Yeah, because so she's like aware of them.
Yeah,
like she
had,
like
they had to reveal themselves to save her.
Yeah, I guess they gotta become like physical in order to like grab them.
Yeah,
grab people and mm-hmm. do stuff in the real world.
So she saw them.
Yeah,
noticed that one of them was wearing a St. Hilarion's school uniform and was like, "I want to go there because I want to investigate what the fuck I just saw."
Yeah, and her parents are like, why do you want to go to school?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, good point. I like her parents a lot.
Yeah, they seem sweet.
Yeah, it's specifically for a scene later. But the headmaster of the school is like an evil dude, surprising. But I think he like selects kids to get bullied or something. Or like they make it seem that way. And he works with bullies in this like actual school. But it also turns out to be the same headmaster that Edwin had like 100 years earlier. So there's definitely like something going on there because he's a pretty old guy, even mm-hmm. when Edwin was going to that school. So something's going on.
I don't know if you picked up, but like these two like detectives, they were like bullied like to death kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they were like killed and like hazing shit.
Mm-hmm. And I like these are interesting pages like of them recounting essentially like the same experience.
Yeah.
And I like how the different styles of lettering for like the both of them kind of like bleed into each other.
Yeah.
Because they're telling like essentially the same experience. And I think that's very creative, which is why I'm like, okay, clearly somebody here knew something about comics.
There's good stuff writing it.
So yeah, there's like really good pages, I would say.
And I think they were like sacrificed for some reason.
Yeah.
They don't really dig into that, but.
Mm-hmm. And I just think that like the headmaster being in front of like a bunch of monitors and being like, okay, kids, you can go bully this one.
Yeah.
And Hannah. It's just silly.
But, yeah, it's kind of like a security room / sacrifice selecting mm-hmm. like room.
Yeah. So that was that first issue. And then part two.
I think I didn't love about this book is that Crystal, her name's Crystal Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Cool name. She has like this like iPhone that can just like do anything.
She's basically cyborg.
She like we see her like playing like a game. Or whatever.
Is it on her phone when she's playing that game?
Yeah, it's like some
it might be
RPG
on her,
thing.
I think it's on her computer too, because this first
yeah, panel. A bit of both.
Okay.
And it just like kind of comes in handy a little bit too often.
100%.
I can just think of one time it comes in handy, but like
I don't think this writer knows how technology works.
Yeah. He probably typed this out on like a typewriter.
Yeah. Or like he needed some reason for her to have this capability to do all these things to get her out of like certain situations or give her information for things.
Yeah.
And I just think, I was like, that's not how that works.
Right.
But so yeah, Crystal's like playing her favorite game, Yonda, and she realizes that she's late for her school introduction and accidentally stumbles into the assembly where she was getting announced as like a new student. And then she's like scared of all the eyes that are like looking at her as she like accidentally burst into like this assembly thing. And so like these first couple pages, I'm like, this is a cool video game page, very colorful. And I can really feel the anxiety of like all the eyes looking at her as she like accidentally stumbled into this thing.
Yeah.
But like, when has there ever been an assembly to like announce a new student? You know, that doesn't seem like a great way to for like a transfer student to get introduced.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm like, does this writer know how schools work?
I mean,
you know,
like
what school does that?
When you go to like a new school in the middle of the year, like maybe your teacher is like, going to say that to like the class of like 30 kids or whatever.
Sure. Maybe this is just like a small school and that's how they decided to do it. Like everybody kind of knows everybody.
Yeah. It's like a boarding school.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So maybe it's like.
I've never heard of this kind of thing happening, but we did go to like a 600 person like graduating class school.
Yeah.
So I just, this is different. But like,
this is private school shit.
But the comic part of this, like the artistry is so good. Like, I could feel this page with all the eyes, like the floating eyeballs looking at her. Yeah.
It's like something trippy was happening.
No, like she was feeling anxiety from everybody like staring at her. And this is kind of like what it felt like. And it's kind of like a metaphor for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool.
Good eyes.
So good. Yeah. Good eyes.
A lot of nice circles here.
Yeah. And so Hannah Watanabe, who's the person targeted for the bullies by the headmaster. Hannah tries to make friends with Crystal, but Crystal shuts her out because she remembers one time a long time ago when she forced a friend that she had to go on a roller coaster, and then a ghost killed Crystal's friend.
Yeah, it just like sucked out her soul or whatever.
And everybody just assumed it was like a heart defect or something that happened during the roller coaster.
Yeah, she like saw the ghost or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And but, now she just thinks like she has a friend, they'll get murdered.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, bit of a leap.
Yeah,
but okay.
I mean, like, try again at least once. Yeah,
yeah, you have to test multiple
times.
Roll
the dice, you know.
Yeah, like test your hypothesis a little bit, you know.
It happens again. Definitely not. Yeah, a third time.
No more friends.
Yeah,
no, not a third time. And then there's context around why Edwin and Charles are ghosts, which is because death allowed them to be ghosts, but they don't know why fully.
Oh yes, yeah. So death is in this.
Yeah, which is weird because like this whole page where they're kind of explaining this. Well, death looks like a lot more like tween in this to me, which is why I didn't recognize that it was like death from the Sandman stuff.
I just recognize it from like the necklace.
That is that logo that's a necklace?
Yeah, it wasn't that big in like Sandman.
Okay, I thought that was like a shirt.
No.
Cool shirt. Wait,
it is a shirt. But I think it's normally a necklace.
Okay. It would have been a little bit more helpful if it was like the death that we see with like the fucked up hair.
Maybe she's got different clothes.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe she was younger. I don't know. But this page in general, like it's a little bit muddled with like all the information that was communicated. So I had to like reread this page a couple times to be like, what is he trying to communicate? And then something that happens that's weird is that both Edwin and Charles are confused why their bodies aren't where they are when they died. But it's been like 100 years.
Yeah.
So someone would have found like Edwin's dead body in like 1910 when he died. So for him to be like, why is my body not in this chest?
Yeah.
I'm like, obviously it wouldn't be.
What the hell? This is my house.
This is where I left myself, you know? So Edwin and Charles see the bullies of the school scheming and they want to protect Crystal. Crystal finds out about Charles and Edwin's disappearance with a quick search in the school computer records. And she learns about Charles's grave, which Ghost Charles didn't know about. So they go to check it out and they're like, holy shit, I got a gravestone. What else can she find out about us?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much that issue. And so here's a question I have. Just me nitpicking.
I have a couple too. Yeah.
Okay. When you become a ghost, where do you like spawn in? Or like when?
From your body?
But like, when does that happen? Because they went to go back to their original like resting place and there wasn't a body there. And they're like, what happened to it?
Maybe it's
but
like
if I died.
It's not like after you're buried. I think it's like after you die kind of thing.
I know. But like if they died and then immediately turned into ghost.
Yeah.
I would stay by my body a little bit. See what happens to it. Especially if it's in a school where it'll get noticed when it starts to stink up the place, you know?
It's so, not like you can do anything about it.
So it seems like they,
but also they can
spawn
like,
in like much after this point.
They can become like physical beings, you know? So maybe you can move your own body.
Also, Charles has a brother, which he didn't know about. So that makes me think that he spawned in like a couple years later. Because you'd think you'd like stay around your family or whatever, see what they're up to.
I guess not.
Yeah. So,
but, these dead boy detectives, these ghosts, mm-hmm. they have like disguises.
Yeah,
they put on fake mustaches when they're clearly like 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why
no,
are they?
Good.
And then it kind of is explained because like the bullies that bullied them ended up being there mm-hmm. and they're also ghosts. And so I don't know if they'd really like be able to fool them.
I was like, this checks out.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that at all.
Look at these mustached boys here. Oh, yeah, it's very
look annoying. At that man with a mustache that yeah. looks vaguely like a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah, look at that very short, very adult man over yeah. there. And then also, like, they have to, like, hide. They're, like, hiding as they're watching shit happen and, like, go down or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, aren't they, like, invisible or something?
I think to other ghosts, they're not.
Okay.
And these bullies end up being ghosts also and reveal later. But
is that a reveal?
Like, they don't ever explain it, but they can, like, walk through walls a little bit later. And so it's like, okay, those are ghosts, I guess.
Yeah, they look very zombie-like.
Yeah. Anyway. So I think other ghosts can like see each other and then they would have to hide from those people that are ghosts in like a little chest. But I think just go on the wall.
Crystal like goes into like, yeah, Crystal's like on a computer, right? I guess like some faculty computer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like installing like a back door.
Yeah.
And then like the headmaster comes up and she's like, what's up? But then like didn't ask what she was doing or anything, which is seems
no,
like a
she
little.
Did. She was like, I'm emailing my mom. And he's like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, let me check.
From this computer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have Azure up, you know? But, and so I just thought that was funny how like.
Yeah, this becomes a plot point that I am not okay with.
And then also
a little bit
like,
later, but.
Okay. So how does she know to look for Charles and Edwin?
I don't know how she knows their name.
Yeah.
But I think. Like, what they're trying to say is that she was just looking for any record of, like, dead boys from the school. And she found maybe, like, a disappearance record or something in there of Charles. And maybe she vaguely recognized, or whoever saved her in the first issue.
I mean, it sounds like this headmaster has been.
He, like, kills a lot of boys.
Kills a lot of boys.
Yeah,
like,
and
like,
girls.
Like, kill or be killed, like, one a month, maybe.
Yeah, it seems like it. So the fact that she's able to find it so quick, not knowing this dude's name, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she had to do it in the span of, like, Hannah being able to just, like, distract someone. Which, like, at most, to me, feels like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. That is definitely something that you have to stretch the imagination a little bit. But in part three, Charles confirms that his bones are within that coffin under the gravestone, which is pretty cool. He knows where his dead body is now. There's a dude named Mr. Nath, which is kind of like my name, but less.
I read it as like Nath for some reason.
I just recognize parts of my name. And so I'm like, that's Mr. Nath. Mr. Nath injects Crystal's friend Hannah with chemicals. And then Edwin discovers this and is caught by one of the ghost bullies, I guess. He tries to like escape through the wall, but that ghost bully can also go through the wall and grab him real quick. And when Crystal doesn't see her friend on the game or in the CCTV cameras, she gets worried about Hannah. And there's a part where Crystal's like, I can do anything I want now that I'm in the system that she was in before. So she can cut the power to the school. She can hijack the CCTV system and release bats, she says. And I don't know what that means. Why are there bats that can be released as a part of this system? Because this is probably just like a basic 90s LMS system, a learning management system that
yeah.
just like catalogs the names of the people. Why does it have control to all the cameras, you know?
Uh-huh.
So that's why she can like do all these things with her phone, because she's connected to this like random computer from the 90s. But that's like the plot point where I'm like, this is crazy. Okay.
I think I missed that completely.
Yeah. There's like a panel where she's like, yo, Hannah, check this shit out. She said, I can do anything, cut the power, hijack the CCTV, release the bats.
Oh, wow.
Why are there bats?
I have no clue.
Who's keeping them there?
I definitely skimmed over that.
Well, if there were any bats, I could do that, she said. So there's a bat's contraption of some sort that has that has no bats in it. So why is that even a thing that you mentioned?
Just for Halloween or something?
I guess, yeah. But Mr. Nath's plan is to trade Hannah's soul to a demon. Charles comes in to save Edwin, and then they teleport away, which I feel like is something that Edwin maybe should have done by himself when he was trying to get away, because they could just like teleport away whenever.
Yeah, they're called, it's called squooshing.
It's called squooshing, which is a good verb.
Yeah.
But do that all the time, right?
Right.
If you're trying to hide, just teleport away. Or if you're trying to get away, teleport away.
Well, I think Charles like gets like car sick from it.
I would take that over getting captured by ghost bullies, you know?
Or maybe like because if your body knows it doesn't make you feel good. So I feel like you're less likely to think of it at a time like this, you know?
Maybe. But maybe put harsher like consequences for teleporting away when you could literally do that at any point and everything would be fine.
Yeah.
But they decide they need to reveal themselves to Crystal in order to help her because shit's hitting the fan. And in this sequence, there's some incredible splash pages and like double page spreads of like Crystal being
like,
oh my God, where's my friend? She's not in the video game one time.
Is that her friend in the video game?
No, this is her in the video game.
Right, but is her friend?
Her friend, she played with Hannah at the beginning of this issue or the last issue, and they were playing Yonda or whatever it's called together.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Then why? So she just happened to meet her friend that she was playing this online game with before she went to that school?
No, she went to the school, and then Hannah introduced herself to Crystal, somehow knowing that she played Yonda. I don't know how. I think she had like a button or something. And when Hannah introduced herself to Crystal, she was like, I also play Yonda. Here's a button that I have. That's like a relic of the game.
But she was like playing with someone in the game. Is that Hannah?
That was not Hannah at that point. But okay. After she meets Hannah, there's a small little page where there's two characters on the screen other than one, which is Hannah playing the game with her.
Okay. All right. I got confused.
And so what I think is weird is that Crystal, there's like no communication on why Crystal decides, like Hannah's gone for like a day from the video game. And so when she doesn't show up on the video game, she decides to check all of the CCTV cameras to try and find Hannah. And she's like, I can't find her. That's psychotic behavior.
She's trying to squat up.
I know. She's like, I can't, you know, drop in on Fortnite alone.
Yeah.
You know, where's my boys? And so like, imagine like you just don't hear anything from them. And it's like, let me check the cameras inside of their house.
She's trying to play dubs, dude.
Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
When you want to play dubs, you got to play dubs.
It's just, which is why I think like this would benefit from like just an extra issue to be like, because that's all explained in two pages.
Yeah.
Of like, my friend Hannah's not here. I got to check all the CCTV cameras and then I got to go look around. You know, it's crazy. And then there's this great double page spread of the demon like trying to get into Hannah, and then Hannah's like body going into like limbo or purgatory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. It's like a great page, but they don't really do much with that later because there's like no room to do it, you know?
What do you mean?
With Hannah walking around purgatory.
I thought they do that.
They do like a little bit, but it's like nothing interesting to me.
Or maybe purgatory is just not that interesting.
It's not. They just had to like put her body somewhere.
So what do you want?
And tell you like what she, I don't know. I was just like, whatever.
Send her to hell.
Yeah, exactly. And so the headmaster welcomes the devil into Hannah's body, but the demon wants his twin sister in a body too, so they need another body. And the headmaster is doing all this shit for him because I think that's how he gets his like immortality.
Probably.
And so, but he's like, that's not the deal. But anyway, Crystal finds Hannah in the infirmary and then says that she's investigating Charles's death more. But the demon in Hannah decides that Crystal is a good host. And this is a weird scene because she finds Hannah. She's like, oh, here you are. You're in the infirmary. But then doesn't ask for more context outside of like Hannah being like, oh, I didn't feel too good, you know? And so
I don't think I would have.
Like, I would have asked more, you know, to be like, why are you in here? Or just like feeling
bad. Stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Yeah. And she's like, oh, I'm going to keep investigating like this random death. And like, it's just funny that like that was like the one thing. She's like, oh, I felt bad. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna go investigate.
What was kind of cool as like a character beat was that like the headmaster's not just like he's not like good here, but like when the demon's asking for another body to be a host, he's like, that's not what we talked about.
Yeah, he stood up for himself.
And he's like, I need time to do this. Because he's still like very like careful about what he does so that he can keep doing it, you know? And he's not just like giving in to whatever this demon wants.
Yeah.
And so I wonder what rather the demon, than just being on board and then it's just like all bad, you know?
What do the demons do with these bodies? Why do they want to do this?
Just hang out.
They just don't want to be in hell, I guess?
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably not fun.
Yeah. So the people are closing in on Crystal. And so in an effort to save Crystal from these three ghost bullies that are trying to grab her, Charles wants Edwin to distract the bullies while Charles like escorts Crystal away from danger. But that doesn't happen like at all. And they both just reveal themselves to Crystal. And then the bullies just grab Crystal and the boys are caught by the headmaster anyway. So like they spend like a couple panels trying to be like, okay, here's the plan. And then nothing of the sort happens. Like nothing that they explain happens. They just both show up. And they all get captured anyway. And so I was like, what a terrible execution of a, you know, saving Crystal.
But don't worry, Nathan. Because Crystal has her handy dandy iPhone.
Yeah.
That can just set off like every alarm that's in this place.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense because now I remember that she like made that backdoor thing.
But it like on your phone? Like, I don't think.
You can connect it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe she like signs into like a virtual network where she's able to do that or something.
Yeah.
And anyway, she sets up all these alarms so that cops will come and then also the school will be evacuated and cops will take like a head count. And then when they're missing people, they'll search the building and like find them.
Yeah.
And
so like
pretty good plan, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's thankfully she's able to do all this on her iPhone. In the 90s.
So, is this based in the 90s?
I think this is when it like came out.
No, it came out in like 2000 something.
Oh, okay.
2014, well, I think.
Oh, really? Okay, never mind then. I thought this all was like...
They just 90s. Knew about smartphones in the 90s?
I don't know. That's a good point.
That was revolutionary. No one thought about that.
Yeah. It originated from Dead Boy Detectives.
Yeah.
So this like pisses off the demon. And then Hannah's body morphs into like the demon form, I guess.
Yeah, it's like this blue beetle monster thing.
It's a pretty original demon design, but I think it's doing a little bit too much.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
I don't know either. It's like, what's going on?
It doesn't look like demonic. It looks more like cosmic.
Yeah, it feels like a cosmic being that just like inhabited, like a cosmic parasite or someone that inhabited someone's body.
Yeah.
So... The demon argues with the headmaster, and then the detectives and Crystal decide to make a break for it, but they get caught immediately. But then there's like this random chasm into hell that opens up and swallows up the bullies.
Yeah.
When they fail to jump across. Like, that is just like, why does that chasm open up? I don't know.
Yeah. And it's like a thing where
they also
jump over it and Edwin like falls. And like Charles has to like grab him,
yeah,
to pull him up. And I'm like, can't ghosts fly?
That's what I was thinking. You can't just like float across it.
Yeah, maybe it has like a suction to it, or whatever.
It could have a suck.
And then it gets to this point where like the bullies like throw each other in.
Yeah, this one bully just falls in, gets sucked down. The second one,
and then they're like, "That was your fault." You're like, "No, it was your fault." And then they just push him in, and then the other one grabs him out on his way down.
Yeah, they like all just fucked each other over because they needed to get rid of these bullies real quick.
I guess.
And so that's where I was like, "Come on!" Like they need the way that they get rid of these bullies is not really like poetic or significant in any way. That it's just like he needs a way randomly for these bullies to get, you know, get their comeuppance,
right?
And it's with a random hole to hell that opens up. It just makes no sense. But when Crystal, Edwin, and Charles, they go to like... Also the bullies like leave their weapons behind somehow.
I guess they just dropped them.
Drop them, but like they don't drop them into the hell chasm. I don't know how that happens. But Crystal, Edwin, and Charles face the demon. Charles and Edwin jump inside Crystal and control her like some like Pacific Rim Titan.
Yeah.
And then they immediately jump out of Crystal because they don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, they got punched like once.
And they're like, oh, we can't do this. And so they...
No,
they,
the demon... Wait, does the demon like pull them out?
I think the demon like punches her and then they jump out with the knives in their ghost form. So like the knives leave Crystal's physical hands, and when they jump out of her eyes, they have the knives in their hands.
They just grabbed them when they popped out.
I guess. Real quick. I guess. But it doesn't really look like that.
And then they turn into ghost knives.
And they turn into ghost knives. They try to hit the demon. It doesn't do anything. And basically, Crystal runs off. She goes into like the headmaster room. She randomly is able to construct Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, there's matches, booze, and
in rags, I guess. And so she just sets the school on fire, and that solves everything. It like kills Mr. Nath, I guess also the headmaster, except Hannah's like demon possessed body is like left. She like left us. She was able to get out. And now Hannah, who's now a demon, is just somewhere out in the world.
Yeah. Like, and cause then, they're just like watching the fire
and they're like, wow, that was crazy. And then Crystal, Edwin and Hannah just decide, or Crystal, Edwin and Charles decide to stick together. And like, what a shit ending that happened in like 4 pages.
Yeah,
the fire looks great. The, you know, like all the art that happens in there is cool. But they literally, she finds Molotovs, burns the school down, and ends the whole fucking story arc in 4 pages.
Yeah,
so it's like, it feels like it's a very abrupt ending. Because if you had told me, did I think the whole thing was going to end like in 4 pages at this point, I'd be like, no, it seems like you need some more room,
right,
to resolve.
But it's like he started writing and then like realized he was running out of pages, and instead of like editing the first couple pages,
yeah,
he just like crammed it.
Exactly.
You know, like he got to like a required spot, and then like
if you're this crunched,
wrap it up. Yeah,
I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to be like, maybe I need a fifth issue for this, you know.
And then like when Hannah's like outside of the burning school, and they're the Dead Boy Detectives and Crystal are outside, like now they're all safe. Hannah like points out that she started the fire,
yeah,
just to like kind of get like other kids to turn against them in a way. And like someone says, like, I'm so gonna troll her. I'm like, what, you're gonna go on her Instagram or something?
Yeah,
like,
I didn't understand that line.
It's like, I don't know.
So why would you do that?
Yeah.
You think kids are like, oh, okay.
And then there's like a chant, like Crystal's burnt the school down. And I'm just like, what was like the demon's motivation to just like get people to not like her for a minute?
I don't know.
It was just like so have like a turn against her.
Also, but if you're that person that's saying, I'm gonna troll her, would you say that if someone burned down your school? I don't want to be associated with that person at all. I don't even want them to know that I exist.
Yeah, no.
If they can burn down a school, they could kill me.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to troll you. I'm not going to actively...
Who knows what they'll do with the next school?
Yeah. I'm not going to actively like comment on your Instagram post and say you look fat or whatever, you know? Because then I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So it's insane. So that's the end of the main story arc, I guess.
Pretty good.
Nonsense,
I'm
dude.
Just kidding.
And so then we go into like the final story arc, which is 2 issues. And straight up, I like these 2 issues way better than like the last 5 combined. But I think my energy to try and explain this story was so low that I'm just going to say things that I liked about these issues.
Sure.
Which is pretty much solely the work of the artist Mark Buckingham and colorist Lee Lurage.
Uh-huh. Also, they say finishes, but I think that's inks by Russ Braun.
Yeah, that's got to be it, I think.
So, because he does like story and layouts.
Yeah, I think it's weird because the way that they credit everybody, it's like Toby Litt and Mark Buckingham are kind of like together in writer story layouts.
Yeah.
And I think Mark Buckingham was just helping Toby Litt be like, hey, dumbass, let me make this
like,
into
a comic.
That's
not how panels work.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's maybe what that like collaboration was like.
Yeah, just kind of like advising on how to do this.
Yeah. Or maybe like Toby Litt mainly had like the plot
maybe
in mind.
Toby Litt was like Neil Gaiman's friend or something, like novelist friend.
Yeah, I don't know. It was so strange. And I just think it's very telling that he hasn't done a comic since then, you know? So
there is a, so I can kind of explain this a little bit more. First page of this issue 6.
Sure.
Edwin's like talking to like his aunt.
Yeah.
Who has like a cat. And she says that like cats can like go in mirrors.
Yeah, they could like hop between dimensions.
Yeah,
whatever.
That was just like a thing that your aunt says to you, I guess.
Yeah.
And she's dressed like a old-timey maid. I guess this was like 100 years ago or whatever, but
she's 101.
Yeah, and then she just drops dead right in front of him.
She dies 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
For no reason that I could really connect to,
and
like thematically.
It was hilarious.
It was very,
like,
I was like,
we don't see his like reaction to that. Probably pretty traumatizing.
I mean, he's standing there.
He's sitting there.
Yeah, we're sitting, but yeah, she's like very dead.
Yeah, like
she drops dead.
Like paper white skin, like no pupils in her eyes.
Yeah.
Very frightening.
Yeah. So like this idea that cats can hop into mirrors and sort of hop between dimensions, I think is pretty visually, it's kind of cool when it's represented with like cats like moving between like panels.
Oh,
it
yeah.
feels like, or like across panels, because it feels like they're hopping dimensions or whatever. Visually, I think very creative.
Do you not think it's like
the idea itself?
I think it's not that great.
I think it's fine. I think it's like cats will like sometimes just leave and maybe they just like hop a different dimension. I think it's pretty creative.
It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And like, maybe they do.
There's more stuff that they do with these cats. Like, I think they're all philosophers, which I think is a funny idea. If it was,
that's why they also grouchy.
Which is why I think the idea is good. But if it was done by a better writer, I probably would have liked it more.
Dude,
you know?
They could have had like a cat issue.
Yeah,
like
that's what I'm saying.
Like the Hawkeye dog issue. You know?
Yeah, I think that would have been
sick.
Very cool.
Actually, there's a cat episode of Sandman
that follows a cat.
Follows a couple cats, and it was like a bonus episode that came out.
Oh, like, that's right.
Yeah. Did you watch that?
No. Heard about it.
I think that show is worth finishing.
Okay.
But anyway, so
then they also mentioned that there's like 7 rules for being a ghost, which I won't repeat, but I probably would have appreciated that like a little bit earlier before this issue.
Yeah.
Because they explain things, and it's like a really great page for explaining things because it's all like a double page spread, and it gives like a small like visual element of like what they're talking about.
Kind
of
neat.
Yeah, super neat. I think visually very cool. The layout of it's pretty cool. Gives you a lot of information without feeling like you're reading a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this page.
Right.
I like that Crystal cosplays. That's what we find out about her in this issue.
That's good.
Which is like something I feel like I don't see in comics a lot. It's just characters that cosplay, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think that's a cool, you know, trait about her.
Yeah. And Crystal just so happens to have like a treehouse where she hangs out, which is like a thing that the Dead Boy detectives normally have.
Yeah, which is a wild coincidence.
Yeah.
Why do you guys both have treehouses?
Very convenient. I don't think I've ever seen a treehouse, honestly.
Yeah, I've never seen
like a real one.
Like when I see
this, we don't have trees here.
This is a fucking house in this tree.
Dude, I would love to live here.
Yeah, this is bigger than my first apartment. And yeah. It's in a tree, you know. This is like, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a treehouse either. Like when I think of one, I think of like the Drake and Josh episode.
Is that one? Yeah, where it's just got like legs, you
know?
Yeah. Or like the one in like Step Brothers, you know, is like,
oh yeah, that's right.
That's the only case I've seen it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, see, here's death again at the end of this like 7 rules thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, there it's a necklace.
Oh, in this rule 5, which is important, is you can also travel down ghost roads, which are made of lost ghosts who want to speak to people and tell their truths. But ghost roads are intense and scary, so it's easier to ice skate along from mirror to mirror.
Yeah.
So I guess that's something you can...
Ghosts can go into mirrors and go between dimensions, but if they want to get around through the scary ghost road, that could be a lot scarier. They could do that. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Anyway.
So
there's like, why are they in this? There's like a ghost house or something? Or there's like a cat house?
Yeah, Edwin's like following like a cat or something, and they go into like a ghost house. And so he finds himself helping these people that are in a room where, for whatever reason, the gravity is like flipped, or it continues to just like turn. And at the time that he finds them, gravity's like upside down. And so he walks into this room, gravity turns upside down. And when he teleports away, he's like still flipped by the gravity, which... I think it's
like Skyward.
Idea. Yeah, it's kind of like Skyward. And like Charles needs to like save him from like floating into space or whatever. But there's also a woman stuck between mirrors, which probably couldn't be written today just based off of, you know, women being stuck in things. It's a bit weird to like write about, you know.
Like
I'm stuck, step bro type thing. I'm like, I can't imagine this would be an idea that would have been fleshed out
today.
I thought
this was really cool.
I think it's a great idea because of like the context that was given is... She was like trying to jump between mirrors, but the mirror got shattered halfway when she was like halfway through the mirror.
Yeah.
And then she got stuck. And so now she's stuck there. And I was like, that's a creative idea.
And so she's like a ghost, I think.
She's got to be, I think.
And then also, yeah, because she's been there for like a minute. And then there's also the other ghost. It's like some little girl.
But she was hit by the spear.
Yeah, she was hit by a spear that's like, and so her dress is like stained with blood.
Yeah.
Just forever.
Good. That's like, you know, good character design because you're like, oh, that's kind of dark. So, yeah, very fun ideas in this. But that was pretty much that issue. So then in issue 6, which is the last issue here, I like that when Edwin is directing them to the house with the upside down room, Edwin has to hold hands with Charles so that he doesn't like float off into the sky.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Which is cute, but I also thought that they were able to fly. So why not just like fly up, which would be down in this scenario? So maybe they can't fly? I don't know.
Right.
But I thought we saw them fly earlier, so I don't know. Why can the cat still travel between this, the dimensions, specifically the shattered mirror, when the other person gets stuck?
So you need like a blood offering in order to go into the mirror and teleport to wherever you want to go. And so when they're on their way back, the blonde girl got like stabbed with the spear.
Yep.
While the handmaiden was like in the mirror.
So it almost reverses that?
It almost acted like another blood sacrifice.
So it cancels out the
first
one?
Which turned off the mirror, I guess.
So the cat can just still go through because
cats can always do that, I guess.
Because they kill people.
Yeah, they don't have to do a blood sacrifice.
Okay, that's fine. This is a great page, though, of like this cat like kind of teleporting across different dimensions, but it feels like it's like the cracked mirror that is like opening that guy away. I think it's a good page.
What page is that?
Page 147.
You're on 7 right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, cats have the souls of philosophers in them, which I think is a fun idea if this was in a better book. And then Edwin and Charles, they go to get help from a weird manatee man named Tragic Mick, which I think is a great name because it's like magic trick, but flipped. Did you catch that? Tragic Mick?
Hold on. What?
So they like, the Dead Boy detectives are trying to figure out how to solve this. And so they go to the, like this weird manatee looking man in like a random shop that they know about. And that dude's name is Tragic Mick, which is like a flipping of the first syllable of magic trick.
Right, right.
So it's funny. But what ends up happening is that he doesn't know how to help and neither does his manatee partner, which is funny to me because the advice is maybe instead of pulling the woman out, you should just push her.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
or they're like, look at what's on the back of the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, see what's there. Like, you don't think that they would think of that.
That's like asking like your stoner friend what they should do. You know?
Yeah.
How about just push her?
Maybe just like go on the other side.
Yeah.
And, like, push her. It's like, you'd think that it'd be like in the first like 1 minute of being stuck in this mirror of like,
I would try like everything I could think of.
Yeah.
You know, before like, trying to outsource.
Why are they manatees? I don't know. But I think it's funny. And so
it
seems like they got scammed because I think they had to pay with something to get that information. And
it was like a cool knife that they liked.
So, and then there's scenes where they like travel through the ghost roads to like save everybody, which is visually very cool. But there was no real consequences for having to do that option, which they were desperately trying to avoid before.
Yeah, so like the gravity thing, so you're saying that the gravity switch back or something?
I don't know.
No, because like
they broke the mirror and then they went into like the ghost roads area.
But before that, so they had to like Edwin's like, Charles, don't come in here or else like the gravity bit get all fucked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Crystal is in the room and she's like on the roof from the perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, I thought he wasn't supposed to go in there, but he just goes anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
He just need help with the mirror or whatever. And so
when they get this lady out,
in order to get into the mirror, they like hang on to like a cat and the cat like went in there. So they were able to follow it, which I thought was neat. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then they just do the pushing thing. And then the cat's like, don't do that, dude.
It's going to break.
Yeah. It's going to fuck up everything. Because I guess the cat's like made this little like mirror universe or like not mirror universe but universe that's
are
in the mirror.
Sure.
It's just like a bunch of tunnels and stuff. It looks underground almost.
Yeah, it's kind of strange,
but in doing that it breaks the mirror and then that whole universe turns into like a black void, but they're like floating in this void and then like Crystal's also in there.
Yeah, but she can't breathe.
Yeah. And
then they like manage to get out going through the ghost roads,
right?
Which is that rule number 5 that you mentioned earlier.
But also, like, there was, like, an elephant that popped up out of somewhere.
Where did the elephant come from, Daniel?
And that, like, smashed the ghost road. So they had to, like, made it a little harder. It was, like, a hopscotch kind of thing.
It was, like,
but everything was still perfectly fine.
It was, like, when the Flash runs on, like, a bunch of debris. Like whenever Spider-Man has to like swing across a bunch of debris, like they had to do the same thing essentially.
Felt like the stakes were still kind of high because this was like 3 pages of like just them, and I'm like, I don't know how they get out of this.
The stakes are like Crystal might die because she can't breathe.
There's that. Yeah. And I don't know. It felt like they weren't moving really.
Yeah.
It's like physically from the void to the mirror where they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this would have been kind of a cool cliffhanger.
Yeah. I think this is a cool scene.
If they're just like, no, it'd be like, to be continued or whatever.
Yeah. 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 I agree. I think that would be good. But it ends up just being everything's okay. Everybody's fine. And then, all right, that's the end of that.
And then for some reason, this cat was cut in half by like a flying piece of glass.
Oh, I forgot about
that. And it was like a gray cat, but it was split up into like a white and a black cat. Not important, but
kind of interesting.
I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Were they two cats before and they like Dragon Ball Z morphed into one? Or is that just what happens if the white cat gets split?
Ooh. No more cat, probably.
See, like, interesting.
Maybe
idea.
That's how the nine lives work. And why there's so many cats.
You're just like those Russian doll things. Like, yeah. If you die, you just
become
a little bit smaller.
You're like Hydra, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
Cut off a head to grow in his place.
Exactly.
But yeah, then they leave the house and
they're like,
ghosts leave. The like two girls that had been there. There's like an old cat lady who like lives in this house.
Yeah.
But she's like just completely unaware of what's happening in this room.
Maybe she can't go upstairs, you know? It'd be hard for elder ladies to go upstairs, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. And that's a comic.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. What a fucking mess. Daniel, let's go into Back Matter Matters real quick.
Back Matter Matters.
I say real quick because there's no back matter.
There's a back page.
What a spit in the face.
Okay, so.
I'm just kidding.
Here's my experience with this. I go on like Hoopla, right? Mm-hmm. It says 147 pages. I'm like, great. Says issues 1 to 6, right? I click on it. I'm like,
mine was 159 pages, but
right.
Okay.
And that's what it actually is when you're in it for some reason.
Oh, but this.
Yeah. And so, And then when I thought in my head, I thought it was only 5 issues because I forgot there was 6. And so when I'm at like page like 120 or something, I'm like, there's a lot of back matter in this.
Yeah.
Nope. There's 2 more issues.
Yeah. I know. That's what I thought too.
And so I'm like, oh shit. And then I'm like, all right, hopefully this pays off. And then it doesn't. Like,
no.
As far as like back matter, because that's almost like a
that makes
a nice
feel
ending,
better.
You know. Yeah, at least like we got to see how this is made, which is like half the fun.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to see the collaboration between writer and artist, but maybe they didn't want to see that, or mm-hmm. they were like, maybe we shouldn't start the second volume with a random 2-issue thing, and we'll just like tack it on the end here. But they didn't want to make it too many pages because they didn't think it was going to sell well. So I don't know. I don't know either.
It seems like in different eras, back matter is less or more important. And this is just like one of those eras where like you just got the story. Because
mm-hmm.
like if you get in a trade, it's almost like you want like an incentive to get that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're like a super true fan, you got all the individual issues and get the trade. Guess what? You get some extra stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And I agree. Yeah, that's normally. Yeah, it's normally part of the reason why you get a trade. Not really, but like it gives you a reason outside of like it's like a little bit cheaper and it gives you a little bit extra of an experience that
sometimes,
you wouldn't normally get.
It's like
getting the DVD
like,
of a movie rather than just seeing it in theaters.
Sometimes a trade is just like the cost of individual issues is added together.
That's true. But like the reason you get like a like the reason you want to get like a compendium rather than like the individual trades is that it's like one product. And then, but like normally they have a lot of shit in the back that you can like look at. Cause if you're spending like $100 on a compendium, you want to, you like the series and you like the extra information, the behind the scenes. So
you want like everything.
Yeah. So what would you rate this book, Daniel?
I'd give it one of those ghost energy drinks, you know, and specifically the Sour Patch Kid flavor.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good. I don't get it often. But when I do get it, it's pretty good.
Okay. Nice.
What about you?
I would give this like a like it.
Okay.
I didn't really like the story. It's probably like, of all the things we've read, probably like a bottom 10 story-wise.
Sure.
So it'd be like a like it that's like 2 flavors.
The thing is like...
That I don't really care about. So it'll be like a...
Like gummy bears.
Like a... Well, like the two ice cream, it'd be two ice creams, and I think it'd be like pistachio, and then like
you don't care about pistachio?
Like strawberry or something. Like, oh, like I like those.
Yeah, they're fine,
but I don't seek that out typically. Sure. And then yeah, gummy bears on top, because gummy bears sucks as a topping, right?
For ice cream, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it makes them cold.
Makes them cold and hard.
And then chewier, yeah.
Yeah. So,
like,
visually, I think this is really good, and that's what kind of carried it
definitely
for me a lot of the way. And so I think, like, Mark Buckingham is great. Like, I remember recognizing that name, and I'm like, that guy's good.
Yeah.
And then I looked
it
up.
This
and
is a name, like, for me to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. You know? Like, Fables, I think, is his big one. I think he's done some other stuff, too, but.
I don't think, like, the plot is bad necessarily. I just think it wasn't like executed super well.
I agree.
And so that's kind of where I like just lose points, is just like how it was like told.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, should we get into the poll list?
Yes.
Or do you want to talk about Mark Buckingham?
I'm just looking at what he's done. So Miracle Man with Neil Gaiman. That's pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
He's done some Sandman. He's done some Death. Shade the Changing Man with Peter Milligan.
Oh, old school. So a lot of Vertigo stuff.
He's won many Eisners for Fables, which is good. So
this guy's like, he's seasoned.
He's pretty good at what he does. Yeah,
for sure.
Hellblazer he's done a little bit of, so pretty cool.
Okay. He's established. He's not just some one-off guy.
Yeah.
Let's get in the poll list. Colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Did you go to the shop?
I did.
What'd you get?
I picked up Green Lantern War Journal number 8, which I will start soon. I don't know how I got to 8 so fast. It just kind of got away from me.
Time.
I thought it was only
past normally.
I thought it was only going to be 4 issues or something like that. Because when is there ever like 3 ongoing Green Lantern series and none of them are like Green Lantern Corps, you know? So,
maybe the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm liking all the Green Lantern I'm getting, and I think they're all good.
But you're not even like enjoying it.
I'm enjoying the main Green Lantern series and the Alan Scott one.
Okay.
Which I'm only 1 issue behind on the Alan Scott one. But I'm caught up everywhere else except for War Journal. Anyway.
Okay.
Not important. Hack Slash number 4, which I'll also start pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a good book. I got that too.
And then, is that the last one?
Yes.
Cool.
There's actually like another Hack Slash book that's currently out. That's like Tim Seeley, I think.
Nice.
And so he's back on it.
Good for him.
Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting just to have one starting before the other one even finishes.
Yeah.
Might have been like
Hack Slash, I guess.
I think Back to School was probably like a little delayed or something, but.
Yeah, might have been.
Because I don't think it came out month to month.
Yeah. And then Animal Pound number 3 from Tom King and Peter Gross. Another novelist, technically, that became a comic book artist.
He had one book.
Yeah, I think the goal is always for him to be in comics. So. And then World's Finest, number 26, I believe.
Did Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong come out?
Not that I saw.
Ooh, I think that's the last issue, Nathan. I hope it's there next time you go. That's all you got, though?
Normally is when I'm there, so yeah. I would have picked that up if that was a thing, but yeah.
For sure. Did you read anything other than this?
I caught up on Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees.
Okay.
And I read issue 4 and 5, ooh, and it ends the next issue, number 6.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, isn't it awesome?
I'm liking it a lot.
I've only finished 3, so I'm on 4 now. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been like some crazy visuals that were like visual metaphors that were happening in this one. The Bears come back, and I'm like, what do the Bears even mean?
The Chicago Bears.
The Chicago Bears are in this.
That's
no,
cool.
But no, like wild bears come in again, but like the main character is a bear, but like an anthropomorphic one. So I'm like, this is interesting how this all works.
Okay.
What is it a metaphor for? I don't know, because my brain's not that good.
I think this would be such a great book to give to Normie.
100%.
Because I'm so excited about it, and I feel like it's just so accessible.
It's so good. You know, people can understand, like, oh, look at this cute world, but actually it's...
We're definitely going to have that, morbid, like, you know, in our holster for when someone wants to come on. Be like, I got it.
Yeah, do you want something a little bit fucked up, kind of cute?
You like serial killers?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Or it's like, oh, you like Dexter, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Definitely. I read Ultimate X-Men number 1.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it.
Not what you expected, probably, right?
You told me what to expect, and so I went in with that.
Oh, okay.
And but because you told me that, made me want to read it more.
Yeah, and it's cool. It feels like a manga, in a way.
Yeah, so I like it so far. I think Ultimate X-Men 2 was like the number one bestseller at Ash.
Oh, cool.
This last week, because he like posts like top sellers and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I need to get number two.
Yeah, you need to get on that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Peach Momoko is awesome. I love her style when she's just kind of doing her style.
Yeah, 100%.
Because like, I don't know if it's like different than like her covers, which I think is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then her coloring is really sweet.
Yeah.
It's just like so out of like left field of what you would like expect opening up Ultimate X-Men.
Yeah, like this is like the second Ultimate book to come out of the new Ultimate line, and it's such like a big swing, or like not even like a big swing, like obviously if you get a book with Peach Momoko, like people will like it because she's that good. I just like would never expect like she'd be on like an X-Men book, you know,
right?
And then do a book where there's no X-Men in it.
I don't know if we've ever seen like the career path of like an artist where they're just doing like covers and then they get very popular doing variants and then do like a book.
I think she did like one of the like Moon Knight, Black, White, and Blood or whatever. Like one of those. I think she did like a couple anthology things. I feel
like that's not the book where you get like noticed, really.
100% it is. A lot of anthologies is where like people get noticed and get like a chance.
I guess.
But like to get on something as big as like an Ultimate X-Men.
Right.
You know, clearly there's like something in mind. And honestly, I don't care if there's any X-Men in this, like that, or like it'd feel weird for like Cyclops to like show up randomly in this, you know. I mean, I've only read the first issue so far.
I only allow
like Jubilee or something.
Jubilee, yeah.
That's like, they're like weird X-Men. Speaking of, I think Glob is in X-Men 97.
Ooh, like the show?
The show. Yeah. And people are fucking with that show. And I watched first two episodes, and it's good.
Glob like Herman or whatever?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's some new shit X-Men.
What do you mean you think? Like you saw it or you saw someone talking about it?
I think I saw it in like trailer for like one of the episodes that was coming out. And I was like, that motherfucker's Glob.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. So nice. I'm going to finish X-Men 97 eventually. But
sweet. Did you read anything else?
I didn't read anything else. No. Did you?
I started like Irredeemable.
That is the Mark Waid one?
Yeah.
Mark Waid, Bad Superman?
Yep.
How's that?
Pretty good.
Who's the artist on that?
Peter Krause.
Okay.
He's going to Comic-Con this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I haven't finished it. I'm on issue 4. And it's cool. Like, it's kind of like the... You've read it, right?
No.
No?
Oh. Irredeemable? No.
Yeah, so...
One of the only bad Superman stories that I haven't read.
Yeah, it's like... what's his name? I can't remember his name. So...
Clark
Kent. Utopian.
No, that's...
That's fucking Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah.
Anyway, bad Superman guy. This is like kind of like the immediate aftermath of him like going bad. So it's kind of like his team and shit are like scrambling, like trying to hide from him. And he's kind of like hunting them down for some reason.
Okay.
And then also like the villains aren't like safe either.
Yeah.
Totally. And so everyone's just trying to kind of figure out like how to figure out a way to like stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he's like not really much of like a team guy. Cause he's still kind of like mysterious, but he'd help out.
Yeah.
Prior. And it's pretty interesting. That's a long running book. I don't know. If I'm like interested enough, I'll like keep going, but mm-hmm. I just kind of want to get through the like first trade and stuff.
Yeah. I think that's interesting that the villains are also like, oh shit, we really got to hide now.
Right.
Cause like, I feel like in most bad Superman stories, like the boys or whatever, like the bad Superman's working with other people.
Yeah.
Or in the case of like Invincible,
he's also as bad as like the other people he's working with, you know?
Yeah. But like in cases like Invincible, it feels like the villains don't really like talk about the whole Omni-Man thing, you know? Like they're not scared that Omni-Man's going to come get them.
Yeah.
So I think that's an interesting perspective.
Yeah.
Like, he's on no one's team. He's just going to kill everybody.
So it hasn't really been like explain like what his motives are, like what happened, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I'm like more looking forward to. And so, yeah, pretty good.
We should do like a tier list of Bad Superman. I think it'd be fun.
Okay.
There's a lot of them.
There's quite a few.
But like all mediums. Because there's also that Bloodburn or whatever. That movie. What was it called?
Brightburn. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like a Bad Superman kind of.
It sure is. Did you watch anything?
I watched the first two episodes of Fallout. The Amazon They released the whole season. So there's eight episodes in total. I watched the first two. It's based off the video game series Fallout. Do you know anything about it?
Yep.
What do you know?
Nuclear Fallout.
Yes. Essentially, it's all you really need to know. But it's kind of like, I'll just say that they like nailed this. It was way better than what I thought. And I already kind of went in with like high expectations just because of what I've heard people talk about it.
Is it cheesy at all?
No.
Not campy or anything?
No. And I think they nail the vibe, which is like Fallout kind of exists in like this world where it, before the nuclear fallout, it felt like the 70s, but it was still like futuristic, but future technology that like people in the 70s would think of. So like whatever people in the 70s thought the future would be, it's like that
flying
future.
Cars and shit.
Yeah, like weird flying cars or like floating robots.
Like a retro futurism kind of
thing? Yeah. Like the whole world is retro futurism. I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And like all of the music that was produced, it's like 70s music. Yeah. But like that has carried over into like this, you know, thing. So basically like a bunch of nukes went off and then it was like 100 years later, but people live there are people that live in vaults and have like created a civilization where they like can still farm and survive solely in vaults. But there's also people that have like evolved with the radiation. And so like they're irradiated, but they still like live. And it feels like kind of like a Mad Max kind of a apocalyptic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically like the story of this person who is a vault dweller. That's what the like outside world knows them as. And the vault dwellers are like kind of a metaphor for like the rich and like how they would be able to get away from something like this while everybody else is kind of like scavenging for stuff. And it's basically the story of like a vault dweller that is like kind of too innocent, but trying to find her dad who was taken from her. And it's awesome. You should definitely at least watch the first episode because it was written and directed. I think the whole series is written and directed by Jonathan Nolan, who I think is like a brother or relative brother. Of Christopher Nolan, and it definitely feels like that.
Cool,
because it's shot really well. The pacing's really good. It's kind
of
funny.
He writes like a lot of his movies.
Does he?
Yeah,
I could tell. Like he's good. And then like visually, there's like a lot of really interesting things that they do with it. So I'm liking it a lot. So,
sweet.
Even like Sophie watched it, not knowing anything about Fallout.
Do you think a normie would like it?
Yeah, because I would consider Sophie that sort of situation because she'd never played the game. She doesn't even know what it was about, and watched it, and she was like, "Holy shit!" Like in certain parts. So.
There's that like little like logo guy in it?
Yeah, he's nice. In it a lot. He's great.
I see those t-shirts.
There's a reason why he's like doing a thumbs up, which is because
he's A-okay.
No, it's if you see a nuke go off, if the mushroom cloud is smaller than your thumb, then you'll probably survive. Which is why he's doing a thumbs up, because he's trying to see if he'll survive.
So he's not winking. He's like trying to look at his eye.
Yeah, he's trying to see like, is the mushroom cloud going to kill me? Kind of
deal. That's cool.
Yeah. So they incorporate, you know, a lot of stuff from the games, but you don't like need to know it. It's just kind of fun to point out,
like Easter eggy kind of thing,
like kind of fan, but like service in it's a way. Like stuff that like doesn't even feel distracting. Like when someone gets in like this big like power armor suit, you could see the HUD like on his face, like he was like in an Iron Man suit or something. But it's the HUD of the game, which is kind of cool. Or like there's like little wrist things that they wear with like screens on them, and that's like. It's like the exact thing from the games, or like you'll see different weapons and you're like, I've used that before. It's pretty good.
Did you play those?
Yeah, I played mainly Fallout New Vegas is the only one I finished, but I've played a little bit of Fallout 4.
Okay.
So
cool.
But New Vegas is great.
Nice. I watched Solo with Sarah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Pretty good.
How'd that go?
I think she liked it.
Okay. Do you like it better on the second watch?
This is like the third time I've watched it, I think.
Oh, really? I haven't seen it since
theaters. And yeah, I like it. I don't think my opinion of it has changed since like the second watch. And I think first time I watched it, I was just kind of more excited because it was a new thing.
Yeah.
You know, but still good movie.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I think it got a lot of hate.
People didn't like it. Yeah.
People didn't like it. I think it would have been better if like Phil Lord and Chris Miller stuck it out like all the way through. But who was it that ended up finishing it? Was it Ryan Johnson?
No, I don't know.
Whoever did, you know, I think they did a good job because I liked it. So, cool.
Yeah. I watched a movie called Mystery Men. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Look it up real quick. It's like a 90s movie with Ben Stiller, and he is a superhero, and he's on a superhero team, And what the hell? Ben Stiller is a guy named Mr. Furious, and he gets real angry.
This is awesome.
And then William H. Macy's in it. He's the
Sandman.
Or the shoveler. And he okay. just has a shovel. He's real good at shoveling. He's the best shoveler ever.
Okay, what would you rate this? What would you think Rotten Tomatoes would rate this?
Like 18%.
Okay. You're way off.
What is it?
60%.
Really?
Yeah.
It wasn't very good. But I liked it, you know?
Yeah. That was good.
Who else is in that? And there's this other guy. He I can't
1999,
remember.
Wow.
Yeah, there's this other guy who is like kind of like a bullseye, but with like silverware.
Oh, cool.
He like threw like knives and forks. No, he didn't throw knives. He only threw forks and spoons. And that was really funny. So these are like...
That sounds like a Chew character.
Yeah. These are like heroes that are like trying to do some good. And there's like a main Superman kind of guy. His name is Captain Amazing.
And, good name.
Good name.
Yeah.
And he's like one of those superheroes that has like the sponsorship patches on him. Like he's like a race car driver.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. But he gets captured.
Why did you watch this?
I heard about it and it's kind of been on like a watch list for a while. And I was like... I like was high and I want to watch something weird.
Okay.
And that was something. So it's kind of like watching like a Dark Horse comic in a way, because yeah. it's just like new superhero ideas and stuff like that. And it mm-hmm. actually was like a Dark Horse comic.
Oh yeah.
It's based off a book called
Mystery Men comics.
No, the Flaming Carrot comics.
Oh,
and the character, the Flaming Carrot, wasn't even in this movie, but I think it's kind of like a spinoff of what Ben Stiller was, which is Mr. Furious.
Right. Okay.
Captain Barbossa, like that actor, he is like the villain in it.
Cool.
Which is kind of cool. There's this one character who like, she's called like the bowler or something. And she has a bowling ball that has like her dad's skull in it. And she like talks to it.
Is it like a clear resin bowling ball?
Yeah, okay, exactly. Cool. And she throws this bowling ball and it bounces back to her like, at Captain America's shield.
Hell
and
yeah.
She was like the best part.
Wait, yeah, that sounds awesome. The Holy Roller should have that action, you know?
And the song All Star by Smash Mouth was in it. And I guess
this, where it got popularized.
Yeah. It was like, it was in this before Shrek was in it, before Shrek first. Came out. Yeah. They did it first.
Yeah.
CeeLo Green was in this.
As a superhero?
No, he's like a villain or something. Or he's like in like a crew or something. I'm like, is that fucking CeeLo Green?
I don't think I would have recognized. Was he wearing sunglasses?
No. Okay. I just like know his face. I
don't
guess.
Think I would recognize CeeLo Green if he wasn't wearing sunglasses.
That's valid. No, he's on like The Voice, I think. And I think maybe just seeing clips of that, I'd like recognize him. But yeah, very interesting movie. I don't really recommend it. But like if the way I describe it seems interesting to you, then definitely go for it.
It's interesting that it got made, but I didn't. No, I just looked up CeeLo Green and I wouldn't recognize him. There's a great side by side here
of
him with and without sunglasses. And I would only recognize specifically if he was wearing aviators.
And this was like 20 years ago or 25 years ago.
Yeah. So he didn't even have
crazy
fuck you or crazy out.
Yeah.
Do you remember when he just had his like he had the whole music industry by the balls?
Yeah.
He's just. Yeah, it was good.
When he was in Gnarls Barkley or whatever.
Yeah.
And fucking killing it. Like, it's like the biggest song ever.
Dude, yeah, you couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, it was playing on MTV like every day.
Forget You on the radio everywhere.
Yeah. When we were in high school.
That's like one of the only songs that I feel like is more popular when it was like changed to be censored, you know?
I don't like the censored version in comparison, but like it... That didn't stop it from being like popular, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like it's that. And do you know like what the original name for let's
get it started?
Yeah.
Let's get retarded?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Banger.
I prefer that one.
Yeah.
Put that one on the radio.
That's how you know when you're like, when your Uber driver's cool, you know?
Yeah. If he plays that one.
Yeah.
If anybody ever played that song in front of me, I'm like, I got to get out of here.
Like I'd be like, okay, I didn't know you guys are cool.
Or like if someone has like a shuffled playlist and it shuffles to that song unironically, insane.
Back when I used to like have like a aux to my car, mm-hmm. it would like automatically play like the first song on like my songs, mm-hmm. and it was always like All Wrong by like The Story So Far.
Okay, yeah.
But what if it was just like I had no songs except for it was just that. So every time you plugged it in, it was that song.
I have a playlist with one song in it, and it's called I as a joke.
Perfect songs.
I wrote.
Oh, you do. You're being serious. Okay.
It's one song in this playlist that I planned on just adding a bunch of funny songs to.
Okay.
But the playlist is titled "Best Songs to Have Sex To." And it's like the Sonic theme or something like that in there. And it's the only song I put in there. It's the one with like guitars and shit.
No, you got to have
so
like,
I got to put Let's Get Retarded in there. I think that's one of them.
You got to put like the Mario theme, but when he gets like the star.
Oh, like, yeah. Dun, 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 or like Coconut Mall.
There you go.
That's a good one. I'll have to put that in there. Insane. How do we even get here?
Anyway.
Mystery Man, pretty good.
Pretty good. I watched Monkey Man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the...
What's his name? Hold on.
Dev Patel.
Yes.
Movie.
New Star with a
D. It was directorial debut. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Very bloody, which is neat. Super cool cinematography, if you're into that sort of thing. There was like a fight scene at the end I just wanted to like bring up, and it had like... It was like the big one, you know? And it starts off with just like a sitar playing.
Okay.
You've seen a sitar?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Okay,
just checking. And I was like, this is a very interesting song choice. But then it turns into like a fucking metal song, which was sick. And there's like screaming. I'm like, I love this movie.
Wait, the sitar?
It transitions into like distorted guitar.
Whoa.
And it was sweet.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So good theme. And I don't know if you like heard about like kind of the news about this movie.
He like broke his hand or whatever?
There's that. But like, you know, I guess it's supposed to go like straight to Netflix. But I guess Netflix didn't like some of the themes that are in it because it's
a little progressive.
It's like there's political commentary in it.
Sure.
And so I guess Jordan Peele like encouraged him to like put it out, and he did. It's like a $10 million movie, and I think it made $10 million its first weekend.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It's good for him.
Yeah. So good start, and I think it's much better than Netflix, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was like, it's obviously like compared to like John Wick, and there's, and I don't think they're really trying to hide from that, like how similar it is, but it definitely has more like lore and like, not like more lore, but has like different kind of lore, and it has like a lot of like culture around it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like kind of neat, you know, it was just kind of like if John Wick was like a little bit more interesting, I guess.
Yeah. Cause if you think about it, like John Wick's not really interesting outside of the assassins thing.
Yeah.
You know, like there's nothing, he's just like some white dude, you know?
Right.
So it'd be kind of cool. It's cool to see that representation in like a cool action star elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like Dev Patel, like as an actor, he's always been like an actor in my mind who I'm like, that guy's kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
Just because like of the stuff that he's been a part of.
Right.
And like, even though I haven't seen all his movies like The Green Knight or whatever, I know that he's like, he knows what the fuck he's doing.
He's always been in good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
cool.
He's
fucking shredded in this.
Really?
It was absolutely insane.
Cool. Good for him.
There's a training montage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
And his shirt was off the whole time. I'm like, oh my God. But anyway, good movie.
Yeah. What else is he in that I know?
He's in Chappie, and he's in Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a while ago.
That was like his big thing.
Yeah, that was the big one. IMDb has like this new sort of...
Oh, dude, he was Prince Zuko in the M. Night Shyamalan, like Avatar The Last Airbender movie.
That's what I'm thinking of.
That's the one?
No, I haven't seen that movie, actually.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man, I'm jealous.
Yeah, he's in Chappie, dude?
Yeah, he's like... some computer nerd kind of thing. It's very small. Okay. I just like looked it up and I'm like, oh yeah,
that's funny. Good for him.
Cause like the dude who's the District 9 guy,
Neil Blomkamp.
No, but the actor that's in that.
Oh yeah.
He's like in Monkey Man.
Oh cool.
And I think he met him on Chappie.
Nice.
And so.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Did you watch anything else?
Invincible.
Oh, we finally watched it.
Yep.
Nice. What'd you think?
Pretty good. I like that episode a lot. I really like Angstrom Levy.
Yeah.
He's kind of one of my more favorite villains. I feel like he didn't really get that much in this season.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot more in the comics.
It felt weird to build up to this fight because we didn't really see Angstrom Levy that much.
Yeah, it was just in the beginning.
Just in the beginning, and then he shows up right before the finale episode. And so for this to be like the finale fight, I was like, this is a strange way to do this.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, but...
So I was just kind of enjoying the fight, and then spoilers, but like when Invincible like loses control and like kills him because he thought he was stronger.
Yeah.
As he's like beating the shit out of him, Sarah's like, how are you going to get back? And I'm like, oh yeah, you're not in the normal universe.
Yeah. I was thinking that same. I was like, he has to keep him alive because he's not going to be able to get back.
Right.
And then he kills him. And I'm like, well, that's not good. How are you going to figure this out? Is he in a different universe when he kills him in the comics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like stranded.
Okay. And he gets saved the same way?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because like I think the issue ended after he killed him. And I was like, and it was like a cliffhanger. You're like, oh, what
go ahead. It's a good cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
I like visually, you know, how them jumping through like different universes and stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Was that supposed to be like a Walking Dead reference when there's like a bunch of zombies or whatever? Or
kind of.
Or just like a zombie universe.
I mean, like it was just a zombie one. And
yeah.
Like the Walking Dead doesn't say like brains, you know? Were they like brains?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, do they in the comic?
No.
Okay.
They don't talk.
Oh, you're saying in this, they were saying brains and stuff.
I don't remember if they say brains in.
I think it would have been funny if there was like a Rick Grimes looking zombie.
Yeah.
But, and then we see Agent Spider, voiced by the Spectacular Spider-Man voice actor, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought that sounded familiar.
Yeah.
Not that I watched that show, but
I didn't watch that show either.
Some clips.
I was a Drake Bell guy from Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I like that show a lot. That's probably still my favorite version of Iron Fist I've ever seen.
Wow. Is that one that was on Netflix?
It's not a Netflix original, but it's probably on Netflix for a little bit, yeah. Mm. And then there's like that Batman reference, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like that.
Batman appeared.
Yeah. Yeah, good. I like that fight. There's the... he gets saved by like a future version of the Guardians of the Globe.
Yeah.
And then Adam Eve is like, I love you. And you should go tell me that, but young me.
Yeah.
Do you think that he should have
told her like on that rooftop?
Yeah.
He made it seem like he's about to tell her like
something devastating.
No. Like his experience, like, hey, future you went and told me that she loved me.
Yeah.
So does that mean you like me, dude? Do you like me?
I would have said that. I think,
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No. Cause then it's like then she thinks that he only likes her
because he knows.
Like it's much easier to hit on someone when you know that they like you already. You know?
Okay. So you're saying
like he should like do it, like,
work
more
with that information and then tell her later.
Maybe never tell her.
Never tell her. Never be truthful with your partner. That's what you're saying.
You're not lying.
I like that.
You're just not telling the truth.
That's good. I like that. Okay.
If you don't tell her anything, you never lie.
I agree.
Cause like, it was like more like advice, not like, hey, go tell past me
how you feel
that I love you right now.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I think there is like a little bit more interactions between Mark and Adam Eve.
Yeah.
And so that you kind of could see like this relationship kind of building up.
Mm-hmm.
And Amber was not really in the picture that long.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember her in the comic at all.
I don't.
So they definitely dragged her out a little bit more, maybe because they had Zazie Beetz.
Which like, I think it works. Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's cool, and they made it work.
I also like her character too, but
yeah,
it makes sense why they don't work.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so this kind of made it seem like it was a little out of left field, but I think that maybe makes it like a better viewing experience because like this is kind of just like an angle you didn't know, and it just kind of makes sense that they'd work a little bit better because they're, you know, fighting the same earth-shattering villain or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And so pretty cool.
I like the Alan the Alien stuff in this.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's always so funny. He's like, they're gonna kill you, bro. It just makes me laugh every time.
Yeah.
But he's great. I'm excited to see the stuff that happens there. Also, at the end, Omni-Man was like, I miss my wife. And I was like, fuck you. You called her a pet. Debbie deserves more from that than that.
Yeah. After, like, you know, all the bad shit that, like, Omni-Man did, I, like, told Sarah, I'm like, can you believe that he has, like, a redemption arc? And she's like, what?
You can't tell her that.
Yeah, I know. I did already.
No. Yeah,
well. Were you surprised by a duplicate?
Like her dying?
Like her being alive.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised by that, actually.
Okay.
So, like, what they're trying to say is that original Kate has been alive this whole time and the Kate that we knew has been a duplicate this whole time?
Yeah. And even the one you saw here was a duplicate. Like the original Kate has like a zero.
Yeah.
So that one's always like in hiding.
Okay. So there's so always like a clone in hiding.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. The original is always in hiding.
But I see. Okay. Okay. So like before we assumed the original had the number one.
Right.
And the rest would be 2, 3, 4. But this one's zero and she's always been in hiding.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't notice the numbering part, but I still understood the message. Like I used the wrong math equation, but I got the same answer.
Because like when she died, I was like, oh, no, she's fine.
That was a big deal for me. I was like, I liked her.
Yeah, I know. And I had to hold on to that for like 3 episodes because I'm like, I can tell Sarah like everything I know.
You can't.
But I'm like, no, I got to let her experience this, you know, and I don't want to be that guy.
No, you shouldn't. Thankfully, I don't know shit either. So Sophie can't run to me to ask questions because I'm like, I don't know. This is way beyond where I was.
Yeah, I kind of just want to like do episodes of like all the like invincible trades, you know, like up to, you know, wherever point that they're at.
Sure.
Maybe like a bonus episode or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like if we ever do like a Patreon kind of thing.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Just do a couple double eps. No big deal. But anyway, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Do we have anything lined up for next week?
No, but...
But?
We got a suggestion, Nathan.
Ooh, we do. Okay.
Yes. From YouTube, one of our watchers, viewers.
Okay, yeah.
His name is Josiah. He suggested Minor Threats by Patton Oswalt.
Okay, nice. That's a good suggestion.
Have you read it?
I read the first issue.
Me too.
That has a trade out already?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think the second...
There's like a sequel.
There's a sequel coming out.
Major Threats. Would that be the sequel, you think?
It's like Minor Threats. A couple more here now.
Slightly more intense threats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Intermediate threats.
Okay. I'm cool with Minor Threats.
You cool with that?
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say either an Inhumans thing, because we haven't really done that other than Black Bolt.
Yeah.
Or Quantum and Woody.
Ooh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to one of those because Quantum Woody is one of my favorites.
Maybe
I haven't thought about it.
Maybe in May.
Wow,
we're okay.
That's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I mean, like the Minor Threats episode would come out on the 3rd.
Oh yeah.
So
okay, yeah, I'm down for that. Minor Threats.
Sweet.
Let's do it. Good suggestion.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Go, you know, like, comment, subscribe, stuff like that. Mm-hmm, everything's in the link tree. 5 stars, always appreciated.
Yeah, we'd like that. If you decide an accurate rating is 4 stars, don't do that. Just do 5.
Wrong.
For me.
Yeah.
And if that didn't convince you, then don't do it anyway.
Tell us if you've read any Dead Boy Detectives other than what we've read.
Yeah, it's got to be better than this.
And if it's any good.
Hopefully the show's good. I'll give it a one episode.
Definitely.
Yeah.
TrailblazersPod@gmail.com. Let us know. Send in other suggestions.
Other suggestions.
And we'd be on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye.